Good morning, Chelvest and Caldergod and Chelston Rise. It's Wednesday the 6th of May, and this is Adrian Dale with the daily podcast for the village. Firstly, I'd like to welcome Toby and Rebecca to the village. They've only just moved into Dutchy Close and asked to join the WhatsApp group last night. And when I first welcomed them last week, I said this was a friendly, quiet place and they'd hopefully enjoy calling it home. Well, yesterday was anything but quiet. By 10 a.m, I'd made or received 18 calls from around the village. Everything was happening at once. Now, I'm out on my litter rounds by about 6:30 in the morning, and yesterday I received my first call at 7:20 from Sharon Hegarty. Now, Sharon rarely calls me, and certainly never at that time, so I knew it must have been urgent. And I was on another video call at the time, whilst also walking the dog, but I broke the call to talk to Sharon. It was indeed urgent. She needed help on High Street, but I was at the other end of Caldecott. I tell you, that dog had never walked so fast, but more of that later. Then I had to get hold of Ray Dyer at 8:30 because I needed help for once. Dexter the hound had managed to cut his paw tearing around our garden. Now, I'm not a dog person, but I needed advice from Ray. I have to say, the way he handled that dog was just lovely. But in the middle of that, I had a call from John Eldred. Now, calls from John that early in the morning normally mean trouble. The last one was on the 19th of March. It was a Thursday. Adrian, he said, now the internet is running in the church. Michelle wants to broadcast a live service across the web this Sunday. What can you do? Then followed a crazy 3 days, but we did succeed. And as a result of that call, these podcasts were born. Well, this time, John's call was a correction to yesterday's podcast. I'd missed out one of the great fires of Chelveston. In 1996, John and Brenda were having lunch with her parents in St George's Row, and they heard an explosion. The bedroom window of 7 Sawyers Crescent blew out, and a fire engulfed the house. A fire engine from Rushden brought the fire under control quickly, but Val Marshall from number 8 remembers being worried that her house would be damaged too. Now, the cause of that fire was quite shocking. A child had been given a cigarette lighter to play with in their cot to keep them quiet. And they managed to work out how to use it and so set the house alight. As is the way in this village, fortunately, no one was hurt. However, their belongings were destroyed. And Brenda Eldred and other residents supported the family with camp beds and household goods to get them back on their feet. Now, when I checked on Mark's history website, the fire of Sawyer's Crescent is actually there. I just missed it. Sorry. Now, 20 minutes later, H called. Adrian, you've missed a fire out. It was the big fire at Poplar Farm when I was a teenager. Well, this was news for me. I can't find anything about it anywhere. Well, Horace continued. Me and my mates were up to summit when it went up. We heard the noise and we saw the smoke, and so we went up to watch. Now, H refused to tell me what he was up to, as he knew I'd tell the story on the podcasts. Apparently, he's going to tell me when I stop broadcasting. I can't wait. But I'm puzzled. The Poplar Farm was apparently the biggest in our history, but it isn't on Mark's list. So I'm going to leave Mark to do the research. But the good news is, again, no one was hurt. Actually, H also remembers swimming in the brook by the new bridge. I was puzzled. What new bridge? Well, we have two fords in the village now, one in Bidwell and the other in Water Lane. But in Horace's youth, there were more. One by JST, one on the Raunds Road and the other in Kimbolton Road. And in his grandfather's time, there was another on the B645 at the end of Water Lane. This eventually had a bridge built over it and then a new bridge after that. And the slight hill from Water Lane to Schoolhouse was called Newbridge Hill. And there was quite a pond between Water Yard and the new bridge. And that's apparently where people went swimming. Once Horace had finished, John Eldred came back with a story of yet another fire in Sawyer's Crescent in the early 1990s. Ray Knight had an old stone barn near his current modern one. And it's the old story of a barn full of hay, some kids and cigarettes. The barn was completely destroyed and then demolished. But guess what? No one was hurt. Mind you, it's easily done. Try asking in the Eldred household who left a candle burning overnight after the Monday evening service this week. I'll give you a clue. It wasn't Brenda. So back to Sharon Hegarty, who started my day off. Why did she call me so early in the morning? What was the crisis? Well, about 3 weeks ago, a duck flew into her garden on High Street, and she built a nest. The duck then laid a clutch of eggs and sat on them, and Sharon hasn't been able to let her dog out since. Via the Village Telegraph, we'd located the owner of the duck. It was Cuthy in Sawyer's Crescent. Now, I haven't spoken about Cuthy before, but like H, he's one of our village legends. Cuthy is the man who accidentally scrambled the county's armed response unit for their first shout in years, and all quite innocently. But that's for another day. Cuthy had heard that one of his ducks had flown off and nested, but there was nothing that could be done until they hatched. Well, that was yesterday morning. Sharon went out early morning to check on them and found that the mother and 10 ducklings were waddling around her garden looking for a way out. She knew that the mother was looking for water, but she was terrified of them crossing the Raund Road and getting flattened, so she called the bloke in the red van, as she knew he'd be up at that time. But I dashed back from Caldecott, because I was walking, of course, and I got Dexter the Hound into the back of the van. He was most puzzled at a change to his routine, but the good news is he loves the van. I parked the van at the entrance to Britton Close, ready to pull it across the road to block the traffic. When I went into the back garden, the duck had gone back into the nest with the ducklings, and she wasn't moving, even prodding her with my litter stick. So I called Cuthy. He's quite literally the number one duck wrangler in this village. Now, I've called Cuthy before, late one night, to deal with an escaped cockerel, and that time he turned up in just his boxers, his cap and his boots, because he'd actually had a few that night. But actually, he caught that bird. So you can understand that I was wondering what kind of shock Sharon would have when Cuthy turned up. Fortunately, he was already up and about, and he came across in his cap and his trousers with a box to catch them all. But that mother duck was having none of it. Cuthy went to grab her, and she pecked at him mercilessly, drawing blood. But eventually he got her under his arm, and then all hell broke loose. The 10 ducklings scattered, and 3 of us versus 10 ducklings is a losing battle. 3 escaped under the gate, but I managed to round them up. And all this time, Dexter was in the van, watching and wondering why it was apparently me sniffing in the bushes for once. Well, we recovered all but one. The missing duckling escaped into next door's garden, Jeff and Muriel Palmer's house, that's now empty and overgrown. We could hear it, but I couldn't see it. So I went home to get some ladders, and then I climbed over the fence to fetch it. Sadly, I failed to find that duckling as it had gone quiet, so I went home in defeat. I was just preparing my second breakfast when Sharon called again. The duckling had reappeared on her patio, coming back under the fence, and she'd managed to corner it and capture it. So I was able to shoot across and pick it up, and Stacy, Cuthy's daughter, was able to grab it and return it to the mother. So mission accomplished on my first duck wrangling escapade. So I was hoping the rest of the day would pass relatively quietly. And so it did, until 16:30, when James Bird told me that a peregrine falcon had landed in his garden with ties on its legs. Did I know who to contact? Now, I've previously had escaped horses and cows and sheep, lost dogs, and even a lost parrot, which we found. But in one day to rescue ducklings and then to find a peregrine falcon is beginning to push even my boundaries. So today, I'm hoping for a very quiet day. Thank you.